We are studying the book of Revelation, and we are studying about seven churches in Asia. But the last time we studied, we have still open door, and the preaching, the gospel of God is going throughout the world. But I just believe this way. There were seven churches at that particular time in that area. Whatever the message we are going to learn, that message was not only for those seven churches, but that message for the all churches around the world. They had other churches also, because as you know, there was church in Antioch, big church, and church they started in Jerusalem. And there are so many other big churches were there. We are going to study spiritual lessons in this. Last week we studied Book of Revelation chapter 2 verses 1 to 7. Today we are going to read from verse 8.
And unto the angel of the church in Smyrna write, These things saith the first and the last, which was dead and is alive.
And he said, write to the church of Smyrna. And the message is, he says, who is saying this? Said the first and the last, which was dead and is alive. Each and every church, they have some kind of greetings. And this church, he started like this, just like I am the Alpha and Omega, or I am the first and the last. And he says, write to this church that I was dead and now I am alive. So someone would say, why he is starting like this? The reason why this church, as we study, this church had so many problems. Problems means not weaknesses, suffering. And when somebody is suffering, that's why Jesus Christ is comforting them. When you go through suffering, first thing comes in your mind, oh my God, I'm going to die. That's what the fear comes. So he is trying to tell this church, don't be afraid. I am from everlasting to everlasting. Not only that, I was dead and now I am alive. That means you don't have to be living in fear, because I have conquered the death. That's what he is trying to say. And then when you read the Revelation chapter 1 verse 18, he says, I was dead, but I am alive forevermore. Please read.
I am he that liveth and was dead, and behold, I am alive forevermore. Amen. And have the keys of hell and of death.
I was dead. I am alive, and I have the keys of hell and death. That means if you are a born-again child of God, you don't have to be afraid of death. Death is conquered by Jesus Christ. We will be learning about that a little bit more. But here, this is the way he starts. He says, unto the angel of the church in Smyrna write. And again I said, when you say angel of the church, is not an angel. When you're reading all the commentary about Revelation, they will say, oh, there is a spiritual angel, and maybe an appointed angel, and maybe pastor. But there is nothing maybe, is a pastor. Pastor has a responsibility. And when he says a write, when you write a letter to somebody, that letter stays there as long as you keep that letter. And that letter will be a reminder. You know, when you call somebody over the phone, and whatever you say, they might remember and they might forget. But when you send the card, thank you card, greetings card, or any card, they might take it and read it all, you know, over and over. So when you say write, that means you are not going to forget. The command was, give these seven churches these letters, and their job to read it to the churches, and all the churches this message should be given. Verse 9.
I know thy works and tribulation and poverty, but thou art rich, and I know the blasphemy of them which say they are Jews and are not, but are the synagogue of Satan.
I know thy works. It's not a one work, but different kinds of ministry this church might be doing. And when you laboring in the vineyard or in the laboring in the work of God is not easy. When you working for the Lord is not easy. Any job is not easy. But when you practice the job, it seems like easy. But I tell you, pastor's job is not easy. If you have a family and you have 4 or 5 children, take care of 4 or 5 children, you know how hard it is. But the church means hundreds of people, different kinds of people. And the pastor is supposed to be taking care of them as his spiritual children. So it's not easy. When you're working, you get problems from the believers. You get problems from unbelievers, and all kinds of people give you trouble. So here he's saying, I know thy works. He's not finding fault that they're doing something wrong. He is appreciating. What you're doing for me, I recognize your work. The word of God is saying, if you read in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 58, please read.
Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as ye know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord.
See, your labors are not in vain. Means God recognizes your work. God keeps the record. The word of God says if you give a glass of water to the man of God, the prophet, you will have the reward. And so these people are working hard. And then he says, your tribulation. When you say tribulation, right away some scholars take this and say, see, this Smyrna church is going through tribulation. Tribulation is different, and a great tribulation is different. There are two different things. Each and every believer, they go through trials and tribulations. And so the word of God says, if you are a believer, you will go through tribulation. Read the 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 12.
Yea, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution.
If you want to live a godly life, a Christian life, life pleasing to God, you will have persecution. There is no way around. There is not a single born-again Christian brother or sister says, I am born-again Christian, but I have no problem with anybody. I have no enemies. Means you don't make enemies, but there are people, they are enemy of God, and they come to harass you and give you trouble. Now here he's saying in this, you have the tribulation, and then again he says, you have also poverty. So this church became poor. I don't know, because the harassment, or because they spend a lot of money on radio, television, or some other ways. In those days, there was no radio, no television, but they might have done something why they became poor. They are poor. God is not saying, or Jesus is not saying, you became a poor, that's a bad thing. If you are poor in the Lord, you are rich in the Lord. The word of God says, the righteous man, what he has a little bit, it's more than a wicked man has. So our money is blessed. Some churches have stained glass windows and this and that, and ask them how much money it costs to make, they might say millions of dollars. Now there is another church they are building, one place, I'm not saying, $10 million to build that one church. Other churches are more than $10 million they are making. But here this church, They have, I don't know what kind of building they had, but here it says this church is persecuted church. People are giving them hard time. They are having problem. They became poor. They have poverty. But the word of God says, Jesus Christ says, even though you look poor outwardly, but he says, you are rich. So that's what God sees. God sees inside of our heart. And so here Jesus Christ is looking at these people's spiritual standard, and then he is saying, you are rich. And then they have the enemy. He says, and I know the blasphemy of them which say they are Jews and are not, but are the synagogue of Satan. Now here also, many people have different opinion. Who are these people? But simple is this. The word of God says, if anyone doesn't believe Jesus Christ as the Son of God or God, they are all Antichrist. When you say Antichrist, means they are working against Christ. They are Jewish people. They are harassing these people using the blasphemy. The word of God says the devil is the one uses the blasphemous language. The people who are not saved or people who are not born again, their tongue is poisonous. James chapter 3, if you read, there is all about tongues. He says your tongue like a set on fire. Tongue can hurt somebody, and tongue is poisonous thing. So these people, they were using their tongue to abuse these people. I don't know physically they were attacking them or not, but when you say tribulation, he has to be a physical attack and has to be verbal attack. And who are these people? They're thinking they are Jewish people, but they are coming to this Christian church and harassing them. And Jesus Christ says, I know those people are coming, blaspheming to you, harassing you, and they are not real Jewish people, but they are the synagogue of Satan. That means they might have the synagogue somewhere, and they might be coming and harassing these people. Jesus Christ says, don't worry about those people, because they are not real Jewish people. Because the word of God says, when you bless the Israeli people, you will be blessed. If you curse them, you will be cursed. And they said that was blessing to Abraham. But these people, they are not under the Abraham's blessing, and they are acting like a devil. Actually, Jesus said they are synagogue of Satan, means they are already satanic people. Then you are not going to say, if I say something wrong to them, I'm going to get cursed. We cannot get the curse like that. Some people say there are some Jewish people who are really, really a religious Jew. They are good people. And there are some Jewish people, they are married to Muslims. Some of them married to Hindus. Some of them are married to even agnostic people. And some of them are very bad Jewish people. So all Jewish people are not God's people, and they are satanic, like here we see. And so the Jesus Christ is saying to these people, I have seen your trials and tribulations. St. John chapter 16 and verse 33, Jesus Christ already told his disciples when he was on earth. He says, you will have a tribulation. That is not a great tribulation. That is trials and tribulation all Christians will go through. Please read.
These things I have spoken unto you, that in me ye might have peace. In the world ye shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer, I have overcome the world.
You shall have the tribulation, but be of good cheer, I have overcome the world. So Jesus Christ is saying, there will be trial, there will be tribulation, there will be problem. But we have to see Jesus Christ suffered. He showed the way. That's why the Peter says you should be following the steps of Christ. He has shown us how to suffer on this earth. Because Jesus Christ said, even in Matthew chapter 28 and the Hebrews chapter 13, he says, I will never leave you, I will never forsake you. He promised us that he will be with us all the time. So Word of God says he never sleeps, he never slumbers. He watches us all the time. Book of Hebrews chapter 4 verse 13, he says, there is nothing hidden in his eyes, everything and open and naked to his eyes. That means he is watching over us day and night. Our God never sleeps. So here he is saying, even though you have tribulation and Satan is harassing you, but is not hidden in the eyes of God, God is watching. So what God does? God is watching means he is not just looking at some kind of problem you going through and he's laughing at. He knows enemy will come and give you problems, but he said he will not allow that enemy to torment you more than you cannot handle. Read the 1 Corinthians chapter 10 verse 13.
There hath no temptation taken you but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that ye are able, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape, that ye may be able to bear it.
See, temptation is not a temptation. This is temptation means trials and tribulation. He says, when you're going through trials and tribulation, be faithful to God. When you're going through trial, don't blame God, don't blaspheme, don't say, why me, Lord? I'm a believer, I'm a Christian, I didn't do anything wrong. Why this? Any trial comes on you. That trial, when you're going through, he gives you grace. Not only that, he gives you way out of that trial, means he will protect you. There are people when they suffer for the sake of Christ, and when you look at them and say, how can these people suffer like this? Don't they feel pain? Jesus Christ gives a special grace at that particular time. I heard about one man. He was persecuting Christians in India, and he was even killing them and chopping their head, hands and feet. When he got saved, the same punishment other people gave it to him. They cut his hands. He said, God bless you. And they cut his leg, and he still say, God bless you. And so point I'm making, how this man got this kind of strength to say God bless you and God forgive you, because God gives you grace. So here he's saying, don't worry, I have noticed what the enemy is doing to you. Okay, let's go back to Book of Revelation, chapter 2, verse 10.
Fear none of those things which thou shalt suffer. Behold, the devil shall cast some of you into prison, that ye may be tried. And ye shall have tribulation 10 days. Be thou faithful unto death, and I will give thee a crown of life.
In some other Bible it says, fear not. It says, fear none. So it says, fear not. Once you have all these kinds of trials and tribulations, the fear comes. Fear is opposite faith. So once you trust in God, you should not be afraid of anything. Because whatever problem comes, the greatest problem will be what? Death. Beyond that, no more problem can come. And so in this chapter, first Jesus Christ says, I have taken care of death. I was dead and now I am alive forevermore. And he says, I have the key of the death also, so don't you worry. And then here he says, fear not, because you are going to suffer. You're going to suffer more. You're already suffering, and you're going to suffer more. And the devil, what he's going to do, now devil was using the Jewish people to harass them. Here says the devil will cast you people in the prison. You have already suffering, You are already poverty. You don't have money to fight with the lawyers, because the worldly people, they have money, and they always comes with some kind of case against you. Even that they will drag you to court, don't worry what you're going to say. He says, Holy Spirit, or I'll put the right word in your mouth. And when you go to court or anywhere, you will be a witness. You will be Christ's witness. That's why we should not be afraid of anyone or anything. Because here it says, you will have suffering, and the devil will cast, means not all of the church member, he said, some of you. When Paul was in prison, he wrote the letters to Philippians and other churches. He said, please do not be ashamed of me that I am a prisoner. He says, I did not become a prisoner doing any evil thing. What he was doing, he was preaching the glorious gospel of Jesus Christ. And he says, Timothy came and ministered to me, and he was not ashamed of me. So he said, don't be ashamed of me. So same thing he's trying to say, when you go into prison, and if you go into prison for evil doing, then you have to be worried. 1 Peter chapter 2, if you read, it says, you should not be suffering for evil doing. 1 Peter chapter 3 verse 17 says, if you are suffering for well-doing, it's better. Please read 1 Peter 3:17.
For it is better if the will of God be so that ye suffer for well-doing than for evil-doing.
He says, if it is the will of God, you go through trials, tribulation, even the imprisonment, and you suffering, it is better not to suffer with a liquor problem or killing somebody and going to jail or beating your wife and going to jail or doing some kind of rowdy thing and going to jail and suffering. That's nothing glorifying to God. But as a believer, because you are preaching or telling the truth or doing the Lord's work, then it's glorifying to God. Because the Word of God says, don't think the strange things happen to you. Go to the 1 Peter chapter 4, start reading from verse 12.
Beloved, think it not strange concerning the fiery trial, which is to try you, as though some strange thing happened unto you.
Sometimes when this thing happen, a Christian people get stumbled. Why this happened to me? All of a sudden, I was doing okay. But he says, don't think strange things happen to you. Because Christian life is life of suffering. Some people say, I'm a born again child of God. I don't bother anybody. I just sit at home, I don't go outside, I go to church, I mind my business. Why people are harassing me? So the Word of God says, God has not called us just to believe. Read the Philippians chapter 1, verse 29. But we have to suffer for Christ's sake.
For unto you it is given in the behalf of Christ, not only to believe on him, but also to suffer for his sake.
See, it's very clear. Not only believe on Jesus Christ, but for suffer for Christ's sake. People do not like suffering. If there is snow, I don't feel like going to church. If it's too much rain, don't feel like going to church. If it is too hot, we don't want to go to church. Or any problem they want to find excuse, we don't want to go to church. This is no suffering at all. Suffering for the Christ's sake. If you saying I'm a born again believer, so he said, I didn't call you to just believe on me, but to suffer for my sake. We are not alone. In the book of Hebrews chapter 12, verses 1 to 3, if you read, he says, we have the cloud of witnesses. What does it mean? They set an example for us. And then he said, looking into Jesus, who is the author and finisher of our faith. That's verse 2. And verse 3 says, when you looking at Jesus, then you will not fainting in your mind how much he suffered for us. So the Christian people should not be afraid of suffering. People in Russia, they were sitting in the church and maybe a full church. And here comes 4 or 5 people with a gun or something. And they said, if anyone is a real believer, in Christ. Raise your hand and we are going to kill you. As soon as they heard that the people who are afraid and they were not standing for Christ, they ran away. Now the remaining people who said, we believe in Jesus and we are ready to die. And those people said, you know what? We are not going to kill you. We are Christians. I just wanted to find out how many people really want to die for Christ. And they didn't kill these people. But the people who are afraid of dying, they ran away. Matthew chapter 10 verse 28, it says, the enemy can kill your body, but the enemy has no power to kill your soul and spirit. Only God has power. Please read.
And fear not them which kill the body, but are not able to kill the soul, but rather fear him which is able to destroy both soul and body in hell.
Once you believe Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, according to St. John chapter 5, verse 24, he says, you are passed from death unto life, and no judgment, no condemnation. That means we are not living in death. We are living in eternal life. So I should be afraid of God, not afraid of any man or anyone. As you know, in 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 7, what it says? God has not given us the spirit of fear, but he has given us power, love, and sound mind. So if the God has not given us the spirit of fear, then who gives? The devil, the enemy. He's a liar, he's a deceiver, he's a killer, he's a destroyer. St. John chapter 10, verse 10, he says, the enemy comes to kill, steal, and destroy. But Jesus says, I have come to give you life and what? More abundant life. So the more abundant life comes from Jesus. So if I'm looking at Jesus, I'm not going to get discouraged. When I was in India, even here, I'm not afraid of anyone. Anywhere people say, don't go there, they kill you. I went there. Why? Because I knew if I am a child of God, God will protect me. Here he says, they will be putting in your prison. Read that verse one more time. Revelation chapter 2, verse 10.
Fear none of those things which thou shalt suffer. Behold, the devil shall cast some of you into prison, that ye may be tried, and ye shall have tribulation 10 days. Be thou faithful unto death, and I will give thee a crown of life.
Now here again he says, ye shall have tribulation for 10 days. Now so many people have different theory on these 10 days. They are saying there were different kinds of kings, and they give different kinds of punishment and persecuted these people in different ways, so 10 different kinds of suffering. But that's not the word of God is saying. When you say 10 days, when you say 10 days suffering, but the people, when they say tribulation, the thing comes in their mind, the church is going through the great tribulation. That's why many, many scholars, when they read the words tribulation, this church is going through the tribulation. That the tribulation is really 7 years tribulation. So here he's saying, when you say 10 days, means it's a short period of time. And so when you say 10 days of suffering, that means your suffering will not last forever. He will protect you. That's what he is trying to say. And then he says, be thou faithful. When all these tribulations and all this problem comes, even though it's a short period of time, he says, be thou faithful unto death. Now see, there is a teaching going around. They say, once you saved, saved forever. Once you saved, saved forever, then that person doesn't have to worry. He can do anything and nothing will happen. He doesn't have to be living a faithful life. There are people doing all kinds of evil things, and when they die and the pastor will come, so no problem, he will go to heaven. Some of the people, they became a Christian, they backslidden, they married to Muslim or they married to Hindu, and they completely give up Christianity and they die. Oh yeah, sure, he will go to heaven because once he received Jesus Christ, so he is saved. It doesn't work. If that's the truth, then the word of God will not say here, faithful until death. That means you have to be faithful. If you're running for marathon or running for any race, and all of a sudden in the middle of the race, you change your mind and you stop, did not run, do you think somebody would come and say, hey, I should give you a golden medal because you just started a marathon? And whoever won the marathon, he'll say, why should I run then? And everybody gets the crown. So here the word of God is saying, you have to be faithful until the end, until you die. There is no middle ground. Christian life, you start when you are born again, live whatever the time God has given to you, until your deathbed, you never reject Christ, you never blasphemy, you never give up Christianity, and you live in Christ victoriously. And here he says, what kind of crown this church is promised? And I will give thee a crown of life. See, we started from the beginning. He says, I was dead, but now I am alive. And he says, I am the first and I am the last. Why he is saying to this church, he says, don't be afraid. You're not going to die. I have the power over death. And now he says, if you're suffering, don't give up, because I have something for you. And what he's giving, say, I will give you the crown of life. Now, there are five different crowns. And if I start talking about crowns, we will not have time. But there are five different crowns. We already made the CD. And when we give our life for him, we get the crown of life. Read the James chapter 1, verse 12.
Blessed is the man that endureth temptation, for when he is tried, he shall receive the crown of life, which the Lord hath promised to them that love him.
Now, here also it says temptation. It's not a temptation, it's a trial. When you finish your trial, or you pass your trial, then God says, okay, well done, you finish your trial, you pass, now I have a crown for you, and that crown is crown of life. And so the crown of life is given for the people who give their life for God or for Jesus Christ. Let's go to the book of Revelation, chapter 2, verse 11.
He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. He that overcometh shall not be hurt of the second death.
Now again he's saying, he that hath an ear, let him hear. Now, many people has ears, and some people, deformed people, they may not have ears. But the word of God says, do not be hearer of the word, but what? Doers of the word. And so, each and every church, he's reminding, if anyone has the ear, let him hear. That means it is so important. When the book of Revelation, when you start from the beginning, it says there is a blessing for the people who hear the word, people who read, and people who obey. So when you listen, somebody says, one time listening sometime doesn't come to your mind. That's why book of Romans, chapter 10, verse 17, he says how the faith comes by the hearing, and hearing of the word of God. He did not say faith comes by the hearing the word of God. You have to hear over and over and over. And here he says write to the churches, or write to the Smyrna. As I said earlier, when you write something, and you write, you read, you listen, that person will never forget. One thing you write and you read loud and listen, that thing will be registered in your mind forever. And even though if you forget, you just go to your notes and read it again. And so writing and reading is very important. So he says, if you have ears, let him hear. And then what he says, what the Spirit saith unto the churches. So Jesus Christ said to his disciples, I'm going and I'm going to send the Holy Spirit. He says, when I come, and he will say, I'll come also in the Spirit. He said, then only you people will know. The world will not know, because then world is not going to arrest the Spirit or crucify the Spirit. Our God is the Spirit. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, triune God, they are from the beginning and they were in the Spirit. Jesus is the only one, took the form of man, died on the cross of Calvary, rose again, and he went to heaven. Then he promised. He said, I'm going to send you the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit will come and guide you, teach you everything, whatever I said. Let's go to the book of St. John, chapter 16.
13, I think.
Okay, go ahead.
Howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth. For he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and he will show you things to come.
So here is saying, the Spirit saith unto churches. So the Spirit of truth, Jesus Christ promised. Jesus Christ says, I am the truth. Here he says, the Spirit is truth. Now he says, Spirit will come and speak to you and show you the things, whatever I taught you and I want to do, teach you. And go to the St. John chapter 14, verse 23.
Jesus answered and said unto him, if a man love me, he will keep my words, and my Father will love him, and we will come unto him and make our abode with him.
Now here he says, see, chapter 16 he says, I will send the Holy Spirit. Chapter 14 he says, I'll come and my Father will come. So what he's trying to say? God the Father comes in a spirit, God the Son comes in a spirit, and the Holy Spirit comes in a spirit and stays with us. And so here he says, the Spirit saith to churches. So just like last week we learned that Jesus Christ is walking among the church. And so when you say Jesus Christ, Or in another word, if you say, God is in our midst. So when you say God, what comes in your mind? God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, triune God is in our midst. He says, two or three gather together in my name, I will be in their midst. So that means God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, you don't see them, but they are in the Spirit in us. So that's why when the Spirit speaks, when you read in the book of Acts, you see the Holy Spirit speaks, guides, teach, tells the people who to be ordained or not to ordain. And Holy Spirit is a person. That's why he says, Holy Spirit saith to the churches. So sometimes when you hear the voice, sometimes audible voice, sometimes the voice comes in your spirit, and then if it is according to the word of God, you know the Holy Spirit is speaking to you. St. John chapter 16, verses 13 and 14.
Howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth. For he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and he will show you things to come.
He will guide you into all truth, for he shall not speak of himself. Whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak. Why I'm saying this? Because I met a man who believes in only Jesus and baptized in Jesus' name. And when I said, why are you doing this? He said, the Holy Spirit told me to do that. Now, what here is the word of God is saying, Holy Spirit will not say anything his own. He hears from Father and Son, and whatever the Father or whatever the Son says, exactly the Holy Spirit will do. Will not do anything different. And so, if somebody says, Holy Spirit told me this or Holy Spirit told me that, That has to be according to the word of God or according to the teaching of Jesus Christ. If somebody comes and gives you another doctrine or another teaching or another some kind of lessons which is not based on the Bible, then St. Paul is saying in Galatians, he says, even the angel comes and preaches the another gospel, they should be cursed. And so the Holy Spirit comes and Holy Spirit guides you and teaches you and takes you in all truth. And so he says the Holy Spirit is the one who comes, speaks, and tells us what to do. Okay, go back to the Revelation chapter 2, verse 11.
He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. He that overcometh shall not be hurt of the second death.
If you overcome, that overcomer will not be hurt of the second death. Now, many people do not know what the second death is all about. If the person does not believe Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior, they are born once from the mother's womb, and they are going to die natural death, that's one death, and then God is going to raise them for the judgment time, just for the judgment, and after the judgment, they will be thrown in the lake of fire. That's the second death. Means once they were born and they are dying twice. But once you are born again, we are born by mother's womb once and we are born by the Spirit of God twice, that person may die once. The second death is not for that person. And sometimes once you are born again, you will never die. How do you know? Go to the St. John chapter 11, start reading from verse 25 and 26.
Jesus said unto her, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Believest thou this?
See, he says, if you believe in me, you will never die. And if somebody is dead, that person can come to life. But if Jesus Christ comes right now, we don't have to die. Because the death is conquered by Jesus Christ. So the second death is the only for sinner, not for us. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, and start reading from verse 55 to 57.
O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law.
See where the death comes from? Death comes from sin, and death comes from the law. Law kills, the word of God says. The letter killeth, but the Jesus Christ gives us a life. So the law was given not to give you eternal life, but make you guilty. And guilty person gets the judgment. So here it says, when somebody commits sin, that person has to die. And that's what the death was hanging over mankind. Death is a curse. Jesus Christ comes, and he was hanging on the cross. And the word of God says, 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 21, God put our sins on him. Please read. And he was innocent, sinless, but our sin killed Jesus.
For he hath made him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him.
See, he didn't know any sin. He did not commit any sin. But our sin was laid on him. And when he died, God made us righteous. Go back to the 1 Corinthians. Finish those couple of verses. And so, 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 56.
The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ.
So who gave us the victory? Lord Jesus Christ. Why? Because he conquered the death. So there is no death penalty for us. So he's telling the church, don't be afraid. Because the second death, you are not going to hurt by the second death. That means your death is conquered and you don't have to worry. Now this church is suffering. It's called suffering church, poor church. But Jesus says, you know, you are poor, but you are rich. How did they come rich? Do you know? 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 9, I think.
For ye know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, that ye through his poverty might be rich.
Now here it says, Jesus Christ was a rich God, but he became poor. With his poverty, we can be rich. Somebody says, how that happens? When he became poor, he lost everything. How can he make us rich? The reason why the poverty was a curse. Sickness is a curse. Disease is a curse. All this curse Jesus Christ took on the cross. And Galatians chapter 3 verse 13, it says, he has redeemed us from the curse of the law. Now just think, the curse is gone. That means you are not going to be poor anymore. The poverty was cursed. When he took the curse, now we can be rich. Sickness was the curse. When Jesus Christ died and he took our sickness, so we cannot be sick. The sin was killing us. He took the sin, so we cannot be sinners. So when Jesus Christ died on the cross of Calvary, he made us spiritually, financially, spiritually, and every way rich. The word of God says, go and preach the gospel to poor. And people start thinking, if the gospel should preach to the poor, that means Jesus loves the poor and the poor will be with us all the time because Jesus said so. No. When the gospel goes to the poor, they became rich. How? Because God teaches them, give your tithes and offerings and what? I will open the heavenly windows and what? Pour down the blessings and you will not have room to store it. Is that a poverty? That's in Malachi chapter 3. If you want to read, if anybody's writing, Malachi chapter 3, you have to read from verse 8 to 11. When you start reading from verse 8, it says you're robbing God. When you comes to 10, it says you give your tithe and offering and I'll open the windows of heaven and pour down the blessing. And the 11th verse, it says, then I will fight your devourer. That means we cannot be poor. Once you receive Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, he says, then your treasures will be in heaven. We put our money in heavenly bank. What does it mean? When you put the money in the bank, for what? When you have need, you take it out, right? Otherwise, there is no use of keeping the money in the bank. You keep it in the bank for secure. So Jesus Christ says, wherever your treasure is in heaven, there your heart will be. So when we live for Christ, Christ supplies all our needs. And there is no poverty for Christian people, because even though this church was outwardly poor, he said, hey, you are rich. You don't know how to get rich. If they start giving their tithes and offerings and start living for God, that church will be richest church in the world. And our God does not want us to die and have the second death. Death is conquered. Tribulation, trials, he's with us, so we don't have to worry. I learned at least 3 people in America, richest people in America. And how they became rich? John Wanamaker started giving 10% and he gave 90%. J.C. Penney started giving 10% and he gave 90% to God. Another person I heard that Hershey chocolate is making, that person start giving 90% to God and they are blessed. So don't think that God wants us to be poor. With his poverty, we can be rich in every way. And so this church, Jesus Christ, or God, did not find any fault. This is the Smyrna church. No fault, but sympathy and encouragement. And so, even though they have problems, but he says, I am with you, I am watching over you, I was dead, now I am alive forevermore, so do not be afraid of death. shall we rise. Father, in the name of Jesus, we come to you. Thank you, Lord, for giving us grace. We heard about the church of Smyrna. Problems, tribulations, trials, suffering, and all kinds of problems. But you comfort them. You did not find any fault in this church, but you encourage them. Give us grace, Lord Jesus, to live for you and for your glory. We are not looking at our problems. We are looking unto Jesus, who is the author and finisher of our faith. Give us grace to tell others that Jesus Christ is coming soon. And we want to prepare others for his soon coming. Give us grace. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. Now please be seated.